Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming podcast, episode number 129. With me this week is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
Hello.
And just me.
It's just you. I can hear your TV in the background.
Oh, do you want me to turn it off?
How many
do I have to concentrate?
Yes. Just two of us this week. We're gonna be.
There we go.
Oh. You just closed the door.
That was me slamming down the remote.
Okay.
In fury.
All right. Okay.
Missing friends.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of stuff happening this week. Most of our staff are away, if you're wondering why it's just us two.
I was going to suggest we pretend to be over there, to be honest.
I need some background sound.
Yeah, you put like a noise of like an American bar in the background, and you know. Over
there. Yeah. So what's happening at the moment? WWDC is soon coming to a close. That's Apple's big one, and of course E3, the Electronics Entertainment Expo Exposition. It's quite often called him, but it's E3, is on at the moment as well. So, there's just us two sitting here in Pocket Gamer Towers. The cleaner's around somewhere. Cleaning our desks. And feeding the fish, or rather the shark, in the basement. She hasn't been around for a while now. I'm getting slightly concerned about that. Anyway, enough about that. So we've got quite a lot of news. Let's crack on then. Let's go straight to it.
Straight to it.
To the news center.
News!
All right, first up on the news this week. iOS 5 has been revealed. It's not coming out tomorrow, nor next week. They normally just reveal it and then say, the best thing is it's coming out tomorrow or something like that. But it's coming out tomorrow. It's coming out in the autumn.
Is that your Steve Jobs impression?
No, I can't do a Steve Jobs impression. That's just my generic voice. It's my resting voice. So iOS 5 is coming out in the autumn, or otherwise known as the fall. It's kind of a, that shouldn't be a name for a season, because it sounds like a subtitle to a war book, you know.
The fall.
The
yeah.
fall, yeah.
So, I've not thought about it like that before.
Something like that. Don't you think that's a little bit overdramatic?
That's America for you.
Yeah. Well, they call all the other seasons the same as us, but just not that one. Yeah, so it's coming in the autumn. iOS 5, which does suggest the iPhone 5 is coming in the autumn, doesn't it?
I don't know about them. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I refuse to comment because we're all going to be wrong whichever way we look. So, although I did comment last week, so maybe I should just comment.
Yeah.
I'm putting money on September. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
September. Maybe October, November. Maybe December.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we should talk about iOS 5 first, because we do know about that. It's got.
Were you impressed?
200 new features.
Yeah.
Apparently, but like Apple's, because they do this quite often with the Mac side of things. I don't know. I can't remember the last time. I can't remember iOS 4's reveal. I don't remember him doing exactly the same thing. But they always do it on like OS X, where they say Lion has 250 new features, and I remember Snow Leopard had 150 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can almost guarantee that 90% of those features you won't normally notice in everyday operation.
Exactly.
They'll be about. And when they say here's just 10 of them, they actually mean here are the 10 big features. Notice.
One of them is a slightly better shadowing effect on some of the icons or something like that.
Slightly faster to boot up mail, stuff like that. Not many of these features are that mind blowing to me.
No, it didn't really. The press usually gets very hyped up for these things, and obviously have been running rumours for weeks about what was going to be announced. And I think there was a kind of collective sigh of disappointment after it happened. Not that it was anything terrible, but I don't think it was quite the.
I mean, it's a good update, but it's not up to the same level of wow as a normal Apple announcement, which is a shame. But I mean, there are some good features in there still. I mean, Notification Center.
That's long been needed, hasn't it? No.
Yeah, I know. It's still welcome. Just to explain, Notification Center puts all your push messaging messages together into a drop down, I think. And then you can choose between them. So you don't just constantly get like a message come up right in the center of your screen saying, Keith has made a move in Carcassonne. Not that he ever does make a move in Carcassonne because he doesn't play it.
Not with you.
No. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, Damien has made a move in Carcassonne. So, yeah. So that's all collated into a nice, easy-to-use menu now.
Well, yeah, because that used to be very frustrating, that, because if you had more than one, the last one would disappear, so...
Yeah, and also, like, it would interrupt certain things.
And, you know, obviously I have lots and lots of notifications all the time.
Keith, why aren't you answering my messages, Joanna? Keith, are you still there? Susan.
Joanna and Susan. There speaks a man from Cambridge, I think.
Newsstand is another new one. Notice how I just brush over that comment. And it's essentially iBook, but for newspapers and magazines that you subscribe to, which is another nice new feature, but not mind-blowing.
No. And, you know, not very, very relevant to us, really, is it?
No, not really. Well, Twitter, there you go, that's sort of relevant.
Old JJ has built this as a kind of an almost a takeover of Twitter, really. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, in a summary of WWDC today, he's talking about how essentially, in kind of one move, this will make iOS devices the most commonly used Twitter device out there.
To explain what it is, basically they've just put Twitter into every app they can think of, really. They put it into Safari, YouTube, Maps, your camera. Basically, anything that your app does, so say camera, you take a picture and then you can just instantly tweet it. Or if you're in Safari, you can instantly tweet the web page you're on. Basically, it's just they're making iOS into the ultimate tweet.
It's interesting, as I'm reading on this screen right now, you've compared it to the Facebook integration on Windows Phone, which is what it's like, but funnily enough, Twitter integration is what's on Windows Phone's agenda as well, so they're both kind of doing it at the same time, although I suspect iOS 5 is going to get there first, isn't it? So.
The Twitter integration on Windows Phone feels more half-hearted than its Facebook integration.
Yeah, I think they're in bed with Facebook, aren't they?
So. Yeah, they are. But yes, so that's interesting, but not game related. I guess the as you keep pointing out, there's not really very many game related things. I mean, Game Center is the one that is the most gamey of them all. There's been a Game Center update announced, and it's pleasing stuff. It's pleasing features, but they're not going to revolutionize it. It's going to be stuff like avatars. Where you use photos of yourself, not these stupid Microsoft avatars.
How do you mean, stupid?
Oh, they're just stupid.
Mine's better looking than me. I quite like it.
Mine just looks like a weirdo. But then again, I look like a weirdo, so yeah. I guess it counts. there's going to be inbuilt support for turn-based gaming. I think that's quite interesting. Again, this is like Windows Phone, because that has inbuilt. That's basically can only manage turn-based gaming. But I this is more on the developer side, I'm gathering.
Well, and there, for the first time, you'll be able to actually buy apps from it as well, rather than having to go to the App Store.
That's the thing I really liked. So, so all those icons on the iPad version, you've seen the iPad version of Game Center, haven't you?
Are you talking to me? Yeah. No.
Well, I'm not going to be talking to the listeners can't answer me back. Why would I be talking to them?
You might be talking rhetorically.
It's not very rhetorical. It would be a crap rhetorical question. Yeah, on the iPad version, it has icons of all of the games that you could have or have, and touching them doesn't really do much at the moment. So, because there's just so much screen space that's unused on the iPad.
Yeah. Well, there is on the iPhone version of Game Center. There's nothing in it, really.
I know,
it?
Precisely. So imagine that on the iPad. It's just bays all over the place.
Mine still doesn't work anyway, so...
Yeah, good point.
I have no friends.
I don't think this update's going to suddenly make everyone's broken Game Centers work either, which is going to be...
No.
But, yes, and you can also... what else can you do with this? You can see friends of friends. That's actually quite useful. Again, that's a very much Xbox Live thing.
Yeah, you can't
do it on PSN, can you?
I never use it.
You can do it on OpenFaint. if I remember correctly. But yeah, Gope and Faint's still better. Game Center's decent, but like, hoping for a bit more there again. But anyway, the Game Center update, yeah, autumn. And of course, there was iCloud as well, which was mentioned. We didn't really cover iCloud though, because it's not really relevant to us.
No, yeah, that, I think that was the what resulted in everyone kind of going, oh. I think that was, everyone was expecting that to be something massive, and it kind of is, but it's not.
Do you want to explain what it is? Because some people are getting very excited about it on Twitter. Oh, I do know which feature of iOS 5 that is important for gamers.
What?
The app updating, changes to that.
Yes, no, that's good. And for me, actually, considering, on a slightly different note, considering my blessed iPod Touch crashes, well, no, actually, iTunes crashes every time I try and update to the latest software, the news that you can now update over the air is, or wirelessly is
oh, yes, good point. Wirelessly updating.
Because my iTunes is awful.
Better elaborate on the download thing. You no longer, this is a lot of listeners are going to like this. You no longer have to download the whole game to update it, which is absolute blessing. Especially if you've got a game like, I don't know, FIFA, FIFA 11 or Infinity Blade, which are hundreds of megabytes or a gigabyte big. You don't need to download them all. You only need to download the updated thing. So that should make updating a hell of a lot easier. Yeah, so there we go. Not amazing, but welcome, but not amazing, I think, is the summary.
I wanted something bigger. I wanted a UI change in there, really.
I'm sure it'll happen at some point. I just don't think it's going to happen now. Before we move on from this, do you want to explain what iCloud is?
Well, you see, I'm not a good person to explain this, because as far as I'm concerned, it's a fairly boring kind of syncing service. Which
it doesn't do save games though, does it?
I don't know, does it not?
I don't think so. I didn't hear that.
No,
what we were all hoping it would be.
it lost my interest. That, I mean, a lot of people are going crazy about it, but for me, it's a kind of example of Apple doing something very functional that a lot of their rivals kind of already do, but giving it a very swish brand that gets people excited. I mean, it's a nice idea, and it's a good idea to be able to take photos and then for automatically be on any other iOS device you have, or your Mac is a good idea, considering a lot of people have several iOS devices. But it's I don't think there's anything to go wild about. Really, it's the kind of thing you expect them all to be doing.
I think one of the most interesting things about WWDC DC keynote speech was the fact that they're going to make the next version of Mac OS X like iOS.
Yeah, look, you can have it virtually looking identical, can't you?
Yeah, you can, it basically with the same, lot of the same functionalities. And
but I mean that is almost exactly what Microsoft announced a few days earlier with the next Windows.
So yes, yeah. Windows 8 looks like Windows Phone.
All these big OSs are starting to look like their mobile phone equivalents, which I don't think is what people would have predicted, say, 2 or 3 years ago.
No. I guess when you're developing for an OS for a mobile phone, though, it's got to be very much, you've got to have everything very easy access.
Well, yeah, I think it's changed how people use things.
Yeah, and then, of course, when you go back to the desktop, it's all buttons everywhere, file folders, and it's not as user friendly. I guess that's
or like Symbian, funny enough.
Or like Symbian as it is now.
They were ahead of the curve there.
Excuse me, I think you'll find that Symbian did Bluetooth link up years before the other. Who cares? No one uses that shit. Sorry, there's a lot of people who get very emotional about Symbian.
Yeah.
For the impartiality here, though, it for its time, it was ahead.
It was very flash, yeah.
It was very good. But that time is long gone.
Yeah, a week after you used it, the whole thing would kind of slow down.
Start to slow down, and then it would eventually not work anymore.
Yeah.
My wife got a Symbian, well, my ex-wife, got a Symbian...
You set yourself up for a little aside there.
She got a Symbian phone. She actually Skyped me like don't know why. Just as she was offered it, she got a cold call from Three, and she said, "Oh, I've just accepted a free offer to get a Nokia E6 or something. No, not E6, one of the others, business Nokias." And I said to her, "You're going to regret that. You're going to hate that in a week's time." And she's like, "No, it looks great. It's Nokia. It's reliable. I love it." And then a week later, she rung me up and then said, "You're right. I hate this phone." Just breaking all over the place. Couldn't sync up her emails. Anyway, listeners, you made the right choice going for the iPhone. Right, let's move on. Let's get away from my marriage difficulties. Yes. Oh, yeah. No, okay. We've got a new influx of Amiga and old PC games coming in the future to iPhone. It's that time of year again when the Amiga games and the PC games rear their heads. There's some good ones. Actually, to be fair, the first one we're going to mention is James Pond, and it's a new adventure. So it's not going to be James Pond 1 reinvented, although it does look awfully like James Pond 1. Yes, so James Pond in the Deathly Shallows is set to arrive on iPhone later this year. I played a bit of Robocod the other day because of the PS3 free games. Did you ever play any of the James Bonds?
I did, yes. Well, on my Mega Drive, so I'm not sure whether that was less good or more good than the proper versions. But yeah, I used to play it. I wasn't very good at it, but the music was worth watching.
The music was great. But yeah, no, I played it the other day. In fact, last night, Robocod again, on the PlayStation 3, which kind of felt a bit wrong. And yeah. It was rubbish.
Really?
I used to like it as a child, yeah.
It is.
The music was still good.
That's around bobbing there if you don't do anything with it.
He does actually, that's cool. I like the fact that the artists in the game basically spent what seemed to be most of their time making up little completely random items which he picks up for points. There's a hell of a lot of them. It's just a shame his jumping and the level design itself is a bit crap. But hopefully James Pond in the Deathly Shallows, will be good. Although he's underwater for that one. Leisure Suit Larry is another one. This is the old PC game coming to the iPhone. Now this is the original game, but it's revamped. Well, revamped graphics and obviously touchscreen controls. Just part of the invasion of the point and click adventures, really. I played the original Leisure Suit Larry back in the day. It's actually quite fun. Although it has one of the most unfair endings ever. If you do something, which I'm not going to spoil for everyone, about sort of a third into the game, and if you're a teenage boy, you would do it because it's hilarious for you when you're a teenager. Like 13, and yeah, when you get to the end, he dies. I'm not gonna tell you what it is, and you don't actually complete the game, which was incredibly frustrating. Having spent hours going through that game, I just find that a mistake I made, a choice I made right near the start of the game, led to a bad ending.
That's a bit of a cheat.
It is a bit. All those old adventures of the time were so damn cheap. You used to die, like, just randomly.
The only point and click one I ever got into was Broken Sword. All the rest I never could get to grips with.
You could die on Broken Sword, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. But it was always quite forgiving. You would always kind of be plopped back, about 2 minutes before. So it was kind of...
Broken Sword was good. Oh, yeah. But that's from the later generations. This is like one of the early ones where you used to run in either EGA. EGA? You've got an EGA display? It's like six colours. That was fancy, you know. Anyway, moving on. Talking of new games, a father and son have realised their dream and made an iPhone game. This is a nice heartwarming story. Have you seen the game? It's Fruit Blast.
No.
Well, apparently, yes, a father and a son have teamed up and Marketer Middle Mobile. They've teamed up with them, these developers, basically, and they've made their game, which I guess the son developed with the senior member of the family, helping out in certain elements. And it's a game where you shoot a monkey, I think. Shoot fruit, kind of fruit at a monkey. I don't think it's quite as vicious as a monkey shooting contest. Yeah, and it's on the App Store, and it's been downloaded over 10,000 times. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
And the quote is from the dad: "It's a real world opportunity to teach him, that's the boy, rather than Keith, about following your dreams, learning from your mistakes, and not giving up on success, Keith." Weird. He's just said Keith. That's so strange. Okay. Right. Anyway, that's it for the news. Thanks very much.
We're not talking about E3 at all, or?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we might as well talk about E3.
I don't know what to say, but I just wondered whether we were going to mention it. You know?
So, yeah, no, we should really. E3, it's been very... Because, of course, we're multi-format, our site. We're not just iPhone gaming, like certain other rivals. We've got people all over the place trying to cover every format at E3. So, of course, it's... but we have been looking at a couple of iPhone games. Mainly, well, we're waiting for the Gameloft hands-ons to come in tonight, because Rob's talking to them as we record this, in fact. But he did have a go on 9mm. It's basically a Max Payne for portable
phones. Did we watch the trailer of that the other week?
That was the one with the slow-mo bullets and the silly gangster-like atmosphere.
Did he like it?
I don't know if he says in his preview.
I was wondering if you knew between the lines. I wonder whether you knew if he liked it or not.
He hasn't. No, he's too tired. He's knackered at the moment. He's been racing around on the E3, playing free games, getting his hands on unreleased hardware. You know, hard stuff like that. Only joking. No, actually, I'm not joking, but he's pretty tired. Yes, so what else have we seen at E3? There's been quite a lot of... The thing is, Android has been really pushing. I mean, mainly Sony Ericsson. Let's Golf 3, there's a new trailer out for that. And, of course, we're going to hear about another Gameloft game, March of Heroes, their Unreal-powered game. A lot of people have been a little bit dismissive about the graphics on that, would you believe?
No.
Gotta be a bit quicker with
I was scanning down the page and I wasn't actually. Yeah.
To be honest, it does. I was a little bit surprised because it does look like the same sort of character models as other Gameloft games. But the shadows and the physics look good.
Shadows. Yep.
Shadows. They do look good.
Very important.
If you're a PC graphical whore, then yes, they are important. anyway, yes.
What did you think of everything else at E3? What did you think of Nintendo and all that 3DS and so forth? That falls into our remit, doesn't it?
Well, not for this podcast.
Not for this podcast. No, I think, yeah.
We can't say our comments on that. It's not relevant. No. Anyway, yeah, so that's what we know of so far. There's going to be more. Oh, no, I know another good one. Reckless Racing, the follow-up to Reckless Racing, this one's from Polarbit, was demoed only on the Xperia Play at the moment, but it's coming to iPhone and Android and Xperia Play later this year in the summer. That looks interesting. It's not like Reckless Racing 1 at all. It's got a similar sort of looking physics behind it and sort of similar handling model, but you're only going from the bottom of the screen to the top, racing through certain sections of the track, trying to avoid cops, knock them into cars. It looks like it could be quite good. Don't want to be too, but it, I mean, you know, it looks pretty good right now. That's called Reckless Racing Getaway. And it's not iPhone specific, but Grand Prix Story from game dev creators Kairosoft has just appeared on the Android market, which normally means they're going to have an iPhone version up very soon because it's come out the day after new releases, which is Thursday morning for us here. So I'm expecting that to come out next week or at least sometime in the very near future. So keep an eye on the App Store. We'll have our eye peeled to it. Yes, so that's it for the news. Let's No, wait, let's go on to new releases. With me tonight is Keith Andrew, who'll be talking you through the new releases. Press the button, sound effect. Anyway, right, first up in the new releases this week is Rocket Bunnies. This is a Chillingo published game.
Again,
yes, I know, they're every week at the moment.
Dominated last week.
They did dominate last week. This one looks kind of interesting. It's a you fire a bunny around the universe.
I'm watching it now. It looks a bit Ubisoft.
Oh yeah, Raving Rabbids.
Yeah.
It does actually. It looks incredibly like Raving Rabbids. The character design, that is, not the actual game.
Yeah, no, it looks nice.
It's got lots of bunnies slingshotting around planets. Collecting things and rescuing people. It looks quite good, actually.
It does, yeah.
We'll have a review of that up soon. Check out the video for that. It looks interesting. The other one up this week is Joining Hands, which the esteemed Chris Schilling downloaded as a quick go to see for the news article, and he came back and said it was incredibly cute. I don't think the screenshot does it justice, though, that we got on up on the site. It does look very cute.
Yeah,
it's just got little things called peeblins holding hands.
Right, I'm watching this video now. It has a drawn finger. I assume that's representing us, is it?
Yes. Well, it's representing you.
Me specifically, or
yes.
See, so, yes. He was rather enamoured with this, wasn't he?
Enamoured by the graphics, yeah. Well, we'll see how it matches up in total.
He was raving about this for a few minutes.
For at least a minute.
So
you've got to link them up to make them happy. And the only way you can make these little guys happy is if they hold their hands.
Just like real life.
It's basically like real life, yeah. Like with me, I'm never happy unless I'm holding someone's hand. I'm currently holding three people's hands right now.
This is why no one wants to work with you, Will.
They all want to work with me. They just
everyone avoids you, Pocket Gamer Towers.
I wonder why they barricaded the door. Right, the next one up this week is very nice looking Dream : Escape. Dreamscape, I'm going to call it, because that sounds far more sensible. Unreal Engine. It's a sort of adventure, bit of an atmospheric, ghostly adventure. It's got tragedy and betrayal in it, and revenge. And as we all know from airplane books or airport books, tragedy, betrayal, and revenge is quite a combination. So it looks great, though. Really, it does. This is what an Unreal Engine game should look like, really, on the iPhone. Although I've just seen a very badly textured slice of wood. Gets my goat.
The Guardians of Memory. This sounds deep.
Yeah, you have to go back into the main character's memory.
Is it first person?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But it's not lots of guns shooting. Anyway.
Well, and a lot of them, these kind of first person adventures are usually kind of, I'm not too keen on them. The ones that you essentially move from picture to picture where you kind of scan around.
No, this one's walking around freely.
It's actual walking around. Picking up floating guns, it would appear.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not a hidden object game.
Oh, there's a big spider.
Mm. It's got a scary scarecrow.
The graphics are very good.
It's out now. We've got a review coming up for you lovely people. But none of us are reviewing it, so we're not going to talk about it later. But it does look good, so keep an eye on that. Okay, what else is up? Oh, Red Lynx is latest game. Has just hit the App Store. 1,000 Heroes. I expect they wanted me to say heroes there, but I'm not going to because it's H-E-R-O-Z, which is heroes.
This is on my list.
This is on your list. This is one of your games. You haven't played it yet, though, because it only just came out. It's a quite unusual one. Red Lynx, by the way, the reason why I said their name slightly excitedly is because they're the developers of such great games as Draw Race and Trials HD and Research Generation. But yes, this is a very odd one because each day there's a new level and a new playable character, each with their own global leaderboard. So there's 1,000 levels. One a day. It's an endless running game, but every day you get a different runner and a different set, well, a different level. Which is quite interesting. It's an interesting new twist on the genre. Keep's going to review it.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, so we'll see how it fares against the Keefmeister a bit later on in the week.
I don't like anything.
I know. Here's one you might like, Dragon's Lair 2.
No.
Oh, you don't like it. Did you like the LaserDisc original? The arcade original.
I'm a bit too young for that.
Yeah. I played it on CDI. No, not that. No, I didn't play Dragon's Lair 2, actually. I played Dragon's Lair on the CDI, along with Space Ace and all the other ones, except for Dragon's Lair.
I remember reading about it at the time in good old Edge magazine. But it looks the same, actually, yeah.
Yeah. So EA has just released Dragon's Lair 2 Time Warp on the iPhone. It's the same thing as Dragon's Lair 1, basically. You lead Dirk. It's Dirk, isn't it? Yeah, Dirk the Daring. You lead Dirk through a series of wacky, cartoony frames of animation, and you have to press the right button at the right time, otherwise he meets a rather untimely demise. I'm speaking how I write. This is bad news. Anyway, that's it, really. It's a very nice, I mean, it's a cartoon. It's basically an interactive cartoon. Don Bluth is the artist behind it, I would imagine, because that's the original one. Yeah, probably. Can't find it. Great graphics, probably barely any control. If you like Dragon's Lair 1, you're probably going to like Dragon's Lair 2. I know that's such a cliche, but this is very much going to be true with this one. So that's out now from EA for £1.79. I haven't told the price of the others, but never mind. They're not very expensive. No, not very professional of me, but there we go. I'm not a professional person. Yes, so if you liked one of those games, check them out. Most of them are 59p, except for Drag's Lair. Probably not Dreamscape either.
Probably.
Probably not. It's probably not. Hang on, let me check. Yes, so yeah, Dreamscape is £1.19. Although I'm looking down through the list here. There's been quite a few negative reviews here saying that iPad is crashing, and it's crashing on the 4th gen touch. Although you can't really.
Is that not like street lingo these days? Is it? I mean, it's really cool.
No, well, you know how these reviews go. One person has a problem with the game, and they just post a bad review. And then they just restart the device and it works fine. But of course, they've already posted their bad review and then just leave it there.
I think that would be quite a good street lingo. It's crashing, man. It's crashing.
Oh, man, that thing right crashed. Oh, yeah. I don't know where I'm going. Yeah, so there's mixed reviews. It looks nice. It's £1.19. Right. I think we should move on.
Emotionally, or?
Yeah, I think we should move on emotionally.
All right, yeah. I agree.
What we've been playing!
It's a shame I can't use the back chat theme this week.
Well, you could, you know, back chat me, but I don't really have much to say.
No, I can't do it. It doesn't work like that. That'd be just chat chat.
you could do that anyway. Anything for a new theme, I think.
Yeah, I'll try and think of something. Something sweet, something cool, something old, something new, something blue.
You asked me to marry you?
No, I'm thinking of of using All Rise.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, let's have a look at what we've been playing. Keith, you're up this time first. What have you been playing?
Well, I've not been playing very much because...
You've been playing Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I've not been playing very much because of Handy E3 and WWDC. But yeah, I've been playing Monster Hunter, and I'm not that enamoured with it, really. It cuts out all the actual kind of walking around hunting lark and essentially just I think it's only 12, presents a series of monsters in front of you, and in kind of a poor man's Infinity Blade way, you have to swipe and slash and poke them out of existence before they kill you. And it's just a bit... The control... I mean, the thing that really lets it down is the controls really don't work, and half the time it thinks you're doing one thing and actually does another, which means you can have... I mean, because there is a semblance of strategy here in that they're kind of... The monsters do have a kind of their own style, and so you do kind of adjust the way you approach them, but you can set out to have a plan, and then it's completely ruined within seconds when it just doesn't do what you tell it to. And then that obviously makes you panic more and makes you slash and swipe across the screen quicker, which means it has even less chance of recognising what you're doing. So it kind of just falls apart, really, and the whole thing feels a little bit cheap and really could have done with a bit more thought, I think. But other people seem to like it, so who knows?
There are other people, though.
They are other people. I found it, and even once it gets going, to be honest, the monsters, they stick to routine, and it's just like playing an old 2D platformer at the boss level where you know what it's going to do and you just have to time it, you know, correctly. Mm. And it gets a bit, you think, what am I doing? And there's nothing really to link apart from the ability to upgrade in between each level. There's nothing really to link everything together, and you kind of just think there isn't really much point to this.
Yeah.
Have you sampled it, Will?
No. To be honest, when I saw the videos, because I do want to play a Monster Hunter game, but I'll probably get the one on the Wii.
Yeah, I wouldn't get this one.
Yeah, it didn't look very good. Oh, well, that's a disappointment. Disappointment. Have you played any other games this week, or have you been all busy with the Biz side?
I've not played anything else this week. Not on mobile, anyway. I've been too busy, you know, listening to people stand up and make very exciting announcements with whooping crowds around.
Wee-oo. Anyway, yes. So, all right. Well, I will go next. I have been playing Back to the Future Episode 4. It's such a hard one to review, this one, because it comes a few weeks after Episode 3. It's basically a continuation of the story in the same, relatively the same level of quality of both puzzles and dialogue. In fact, I'd say that the puzzles are slightly harder with this one, because Episode 3 was very easy. Episode 4 is only harder by virtue of having a hint system, which occasionally tells you that to go somewhere and you can't access yet. So, yeah, it's mainly because the hint system is slightly broken. Yeah, Episode 4, same as before, really. It runs a bit slowly on an iPad. Not on the iPad 2, although there is a bit of a jerkiness in certain scenes. It does feel a bit unoptimized. The touch controls are a bit finickety. Same as the other episodes, really. I mean, it's a good story, and if you like Back to the Future... I'm sure you'll like it. Well, no, the problem is, though, that if you've played the first three episodes, and I mean, they're not cheap, they're £4 each. So if you've gone through three episodes, I find it hard to imagine that any of the faults that I've just listed will make you think twice about getting Episode 4, because it's a continuation of the story, and the story is good, and it's quite funny, and it's very true to the films. So, you know.
When is it set compared to the films? I've not played any of these.
Well, it's a... Initially, it's set 6 months after the end of the third film, and then it goes to 1931, which is slightly earlier than the films. It's during the Depression, and then it goes back to 1986. Then it goes back to 1931 again, because they've accidentally done something, and then it goes back to 1986, but the 1986 has changed. So it goes back to 1931, and this one... is between leaving the changed 1986 and going back to 1931 to sort out problems again. But there's different locations. I mean, I guess the disappointing thing for me is that Episode 3 felt a little bit fresh, because it was a new, completely new time almost, because the 1986 of that episode was completely different. It was good fun meeting characters and their completely different roles, etc. It was good fun, even though the puzzle was very easy. But this one, it's slightly less interesting in the fact you're going back to 1931. No, sure, you're going to new locations and they use different camera angles for previous locations, but it is still 1931. So I don't know. But the story is good. So if you've bought the other three episodes, there's no way you're not going to buy episode four. If you've not bought the other three episodes, there's no way you're going to buy episode four because you don't know what's happened in the previous three, except I just told you. So yeah. So it's just an impossible game to review. I'm just going to have to go, yep, got the previous three. Yeah, go ahead, buy it. I'm not going to stop you. Go ahead. I just wish that Telltale for the next game they bring across. I mean, it's great that they brought the whole series across this time rather than the pick and mix and then just stop supporting. But I really hope they either just say it's for iPad 2 only, which would be the lazy option, or they just optimize it a bit better. I mean, it's obviously not even optimized for the iPad 2 as well. And the iPad 2 should be able to handle these graphics. A dual core PC would be able to handle them with a not so great Intel onboard graphics card. So
you have to play a bit of music there now.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I ranted. The other game I have been playing this week, I was playing it quite a lot today, in fact. So I completed it in about an hour. Hard Racing.
You thought I was going to say something else,
huh? Yeah, Hard Racing is a one-man game. It's made by one person. Music, sounds, graphics, everything. Over 6 months.
You just listed the general features of a game there. That's very informative.
Thank you. Gameplay.
Music, sounds, and graphics.
I didn't mention the playability. Replayability. He was anyway. Sorry. Yeah. So this guy, it's a one-man band, and for a one dev game, it's very impressive in the fact that it looks pretty much. I mean, it's not on par with Reckless Racing, but it's very much sort of aping that look, and I think he pulls it off quite well, actually. And there's 3D environmental hazards around the three tracks. Okay, there's the first warning sign going off here, that you get to race around, which are quite cool and kind of reminded me a little bit of Split Second and the fact that you get a landslide of rocks as you're driving underneath a cliff and stuff like this. But the problem is that while the presentation is good and the music's fairly okay and the handling is fine, there's only really two tracks, and one which is just terrible, some sort of dark night city track where you don't have your headlights on and it's really confusing and it's just horrible. So you've got two tracks. There's no structure to the single player. You just sort of play a track and that's it. There's time trial. There's a version where you play against an AI who just crashes into the nearest barrier and gets stuck, and then there's another time trial. And that's really it. I mean, it's impressive if you put the game in context, because it looks great, handles well. It's got two types of handling. Camera's a little bit too zoomed in, but that's not too bad. Yeah, and I mean, it's like a budget version of Reckless Racing when you first start it. But when you take out the context and you review it as a game that you're buying instead of buying something like, Death Rally or something like that. As a game that you're going to spend £1 on as opposed to £1 on Death Rally, there's no way in hell you'd pay £1 for this game. That's the thing. So very well done for actually pulling it off. But compared to the other games out there which are available, not really worth your time. So yeah, you got a phone call.
I know. I was wondering whether you could hear that. And then I was laughing at you saying pulling it off quite a few times.
You dirty bastard. Anyway, so that's good. Do you want to answer that?
No, I don't, no. It's, right. it's only them fake calls. They ring me with them. Hey, we've heard you've had an accident at work.
Hi there. Have you thought about it? Yeah, we get that.
Hockey Gamer is getting sued because I've had several accidents at work while I've been living here. So.
Anyway, so yes, that's a little bit of a downer to end this week's episode on. But check out some of the new releases that we mentioned earlier. We will be back next week. We'll have probably John back with us, and
will we?
Maybe, I don't know. I want to get rid of
it. We have to.
Keeps avoiding my traps.
What, for the cellar downstairs, the dungeon?
Yeah.
You know the one where I get people to hold the live electrical cable and then I pour, then they walk through the door and a bucket of water falls on them.
Tracy's down there, isn't he?
He was down there. I've had to move him. Stinking up the place. Anyway. We'll be back next week with, because John was at WWDC this year, so we'll have a chat to him, see what he thinks about all the latest developments, see what games he saw. We'll no doubt have more information about E3 across the rest of this week. Rob is absolutely dead on his feet, but he'll try and give you the write-ups from there. There's lots more on the website about recent releases, of course, and we should have reviews of all the new releases in the next few days as well, so look forward to them. I have been Will Wilson, you have been listening to this, and I have been here with Keith Andrew.
Hello, goodbye.
Toodles.